Hello, this is not Pastor John Soper. This is Pastor Rock Dilliman. I say that because over the past 2 years, you've become accustomed to hearing John Soper's traditional greeting, and I can't thank John enough for the wonderful contribution he has made to our ministry at ACAC with his Know the Word commentaries that we have aligned with our 91-week journeys. But during these once-a-week commentaries, I'll be greeting you as who I am, Pastor Rock Dilliman, not Pastor John Soper. As you know, once a week I'm going to make commentary upon what we learn about the Holy Spirit in our weekly readings. John provides commentary for our 91-week journey on a five-day-a-week basis. Mine will be just once a week. And since we're calling this second time through the Scriptures 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit, that will be my focus. This week, you're reading from the book of Genesis and from Psalm 19 and Psalm 8 that also speak of God's majestic creative activity. And so the question for this week is, what do we learn about the Holy Spirit? Where do we see the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit in the opening chapters of Genesis? And let me begin by saying this. From the very first word of Genesis forward, we are encountering the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Long before we read about the Holy Spirit, we're encountering the Holy Spirit. And I say that because in the New Testament book of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, the Apostle Paul said, "All Scripture is God-breathed." The breath of God is one of the synonyms for the person of the Holy Spirit. We often see the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the activities of the Holy Spirit, described symbolically as the breath of God. So all of Scripture is the product of the Holy Spirit, revealing to the writers of Scripture the truth of God and the message of God. And sometimes it's the Holy Spirit revealing history that the writer couldn't possibly know of otherwise. For example, how did Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, know what happened in creation? He obviously wasn't there. Who revealed to him the truth about Adam and Eve and the fall and the flood? Moses knew about creation because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. All Scripture is God-breathed. So before we consider what creation says about the Holy Spirit, I just want to remind you that the creation of the Scriptures is the work of the Holy Spirit. But now let's focus upon what we learn about the Holy Spirit in the account of creation. We immediately, in the opening lines of Scripture, see the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work. We know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we also read of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And then in John chapter 1, which you'll read later this year, we're told that Jesus himself was involved in creation, that without him, nothing that was made came into existence. So we encounter the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in creation. That's why God said, "Let us make man in our image." Some say that's the plural of majesty, and it probably is, but I think it's also an indicator of Trinity. What do we learn about the Holy Spirit and his role in creation? Well, Psalm 33, verses 6 and 7, tell us that God created by the breath of his mouth, reference to the Holy Spirit. It tells us that through his breath and his spirit, God gathered up the waters of the sea. So immediately we find the Holy Spirit involved in the creation. And the reference to the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters is an interesting reference that immediately introduces us to the work and the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Hover. It's a word that means to sit like a bird on a nest in anticipation of some new development. And do you know it's the same word that is used in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, where the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "The Spirit will overshadow you, and the Spirit will come upon you, and the power of God Most High will overshadow you." Same word, same concept. The same Holy Spirit who was involved in the creation of the heavens and the earth was also going to be involved in the miraculous conception of the Messiah within the womb of Mary. So for this week, let's think about that word hover. Because all throughout Scripture, you find the Holy Spirit hovering over humanity. It's the Holy Spirit who draws us to faith in Christ. The Scriptures tell us that nobody comes to Jesus unless the Spirit of God draws him or draws her. How does the Holy Spirit do that? He hovers over our life, bringing conviction of sin, bringing awareness of our need, bringing understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he actually is involved in our regeneration, within our new birth, after our salvation. The Holy Spirit hovers over us by revealing where we are sinning against God, where we need to be transformed by his liberating work. He hovers over us, birthing vision. He hovers over us to give us discernment. He hovers over us to give us awareness of how God wants to use us, of how God has equipped us, of how God empowers us. So the Holy Spirit hovers over us to bring us out of darkness into light, to bring us out of death into life. And then once we have stepped into God's kingdom, the Holy Spirit hovers over us to bring about our growth in grace and in the knowledge of God. Just as he brought order out of chaos in Genesis 1, he brings order out of chaos in our lives. Just as he brought light out of darkness in Genesis 1, he brings understanding where there was once ignorance in our life. He does that by hovering over us and using a variety of means to speak God's truth into our life and to invite us into the fullness of God's intent. Let me pick one specific example of that. You read in your readings this week from Genesis 6, where God said his Spirit would not always strive with man. And immediately after that, we read about the universal flood. Well, you also read in Psalm 19, the psalmist saying, "Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins." When you lay those two scriptures aside one another, you find that one of the works of the hovering Holy Spirit in our life is conviction. He makes us aware of our own sin. If we respond in humility and in confession and in repentance, he moves us to greater order and blessing in our life. If we presume that we can continue to do it and get away with it, then we put ourselves in a place of experiencing God's discipline. Because God will not continually strive over the same things, there will come the point at which he'll say, "Well, then go ahead and have it your way." So, what do we learn about the Holy Spirit in Genesis and in the Psalms? We learn that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, was involved in creation. We learn that the Holy Spirit hovers over our lives just like he hovered over the earth, that he brings light out of darkness, order out of chaos, that he brings understanding, conviction, discernment, repentance, and faith, that he is the person of the Trinity entrusted with our transformation. God the Father so loved the world that he gave. God the Father planned it. Jesus became flesh, dwelt among us, died for our sins, and rose again. Jesus carried out the plan, but the Holy Spirit implements it. He takes what Jesus has made available, and he delivers it to our doorstep by hovering over our life with conviction, with revelation, with discernment, and regenerating power. What he did in Genesis 1, he wants to do in you and in me on a daily basis. Hover over us, bring order out of chaos, understanding out of ignorance, light out of darkness, and blessing out of despair. As you contemplate that, as you read about that, I would encourage you to simply ask the Spirit of the Living God to open your awareness to all the exciting things he's doing in your life.